Let me lead us in a word of prayer and we'll get started this morning. Lord, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for that song that we just sang. Lord, to take my life, to take my feet and my hands and my voice and my money and everything I've got, Lord, take it and use it so that you would be made famous, so that you would be glorified. Lord, I thank you that this morning you've given us the opportunity to be together, to dig into your word, so that you could show us a next step for our feet, or our hands, or our voice. Lord, thank you that there are going to be 1,000 different messages because of 1,000 different ears, Lord, that are going to be hearing the message that you have for them. I pray that they'll be leaning into what you have for them, Lord. Lord, and I pray that you will not just give them ears to hear, but I pray that you would give us all hearts to do what you call us to do today. Lord, thank you so much that we could count on you. We lean into you this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have you ever been the new guy? Have you ever met the new guy or seen the new guy or been there the first time? Do you remember the funny feelings that you have when you're the first timer, you're the newbie, right? How awkward sometimes it kind of is. Well, I promise you, this is the time of year. This ought to be newbie month, probably, because you are probably going to meet more people that are at least new to you. They may be new to your community. They may be new to your church. They may not be new to the area, but they're going to be new to you because for the first time, you're going to be realizing that you two people share the same plan together for the first time in your life. And the question that I have for you today is when you come in contact with those newbies, right? What are you going to do about it? When you see that newbie, are you checking them out, looking at them, evaluating how you match up? Or could it be that when you see that newbie, maybe what God wants to bring into our hearts is to look at that newbie and go, you know, I wonder if there's an eternal reason that God has put them into my space. And I want to lean into that and find out if that's true. Or maybe, I wonder if there's an eternal reason that God has put me in their space. And I'm going to lean into them to find out what God may have for this relationship. That whole how we interact with the newbies that come into our life, that's all part of community. It's all part of how God has designed us to need each other. Community. And community is something that is God's idea. It's how God wants us to interact for the betterment of others, but also for the betterment of us. He wants to use us to make a difference in the lives of others. He wants to use others to make a difference in the lives of us. How does that happen? And how do we do it in the context of a world that's messages are pretty different than that? Let's take a look at what the Bible says about today. If you would, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 18, okay? Acts chapter 18, we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 28, all right? Acts 18, verses 24 through 28. Let me read what the Bible says here. This is a story about a man named Apollos. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, who was a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only about the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him into their home. And they explained to him the way of God more adequately. Now, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Let's see if this passage of Scripture helps us to get some clues about how God wants community to really, really happen in our lives and for our lives. You see, the Apostle Paul had been used by God to start churches all over the northern part of the Mediterranean. One of those cities where God had him go, people believed, and a church was established, was the city of Ephesus, all right? Man, this church was a thriving church. It was a booming church. It was doing a lot of good stuff for God. But at a certain point, God said, Paul, I want you to go on to other places. And when God said that, what Paul did was he put into place two leaders, a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And this couple helped to lead the church in Ephesus. Okay? Now, one day, everybody is living life just like usual, but this new kid shows up in town. His name was Apollos. He was the new kid on the block. He was from... Apollos made a great first impression on everybody. First of all, he was from Alexandria, okay? This was like the second most important city in all the Roman Empire. I mean, if you were from Alexandria, man, that meant that you were smart. It was like being an Ivy Leaguer, right? Ooh, he's from Alexandria? Must be smart. And he was. When he talked, you could tell that he was very intellectual, not just in what he said, but also in how he said it. He was very trained and he was very smart, but the Bible says that he also knew the Scriptures very, very, very well. And what he knew about the Scriptures, we're talking about the Old Testament Scriptures, is that he could see very clearly that these Old Testament Scriptures all clearly pointed to Jesus, the Messiah. And not only was he smart, not only was he a good talker, all of that, he knew the Scriptures, but he was bold. And so he would go into Ephesus, he would go to the synagogue where all the Jews would hang out, and he would start talking to them and try to help those Jews there to understand from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. Man, he was all that and a bag of chips, right? But he did have a little bit of a flaw going on. And that is, in all of his learning and all that he had learned and all that he had been taught, he had only been taught about, the Bible says, about the baptism of John. And he was preaching it as the reality of the day when that wasn't the reality of the day. Here's what I mean by that. The baptism of John, do you remember when John showed up on the scene and the Bible says, in fact, Jesus even said that he had come to prepare the way of the Lord, right? And so he would do his preaching and he would tell people to repent, right? To get ready for the day of the Lord, right? The day of the Lord is coming. So repent, get baptized, and get ready for the day of the Lord. That's not Christian baptism. You see, Christian baptism is about something that has already happened once and for all. It's not something that's going to happen. It has happened once and for all. You see, because Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away the sins of the world once and for all. And when you or I or anybody comes to understand that they have a sin problem, that the only way that that sin problem is ever going to be removed is by what Jesus did on the cross when he died to take on our sins on himself, to take our sins off of us and put them on himself so that we could be in a right relationship with God. When we understand that, when we believe it, when we say, Lord, forgive me, make me new, cleanse me, come live in my heart. All of that goes back to a transaction that has already been paid. Right? Baptism, Christian baptism, is an outward sign of something that happened on the inside. And the transaction that made it possible happened many, many years ago. So where the baptism of John was a preparatory baptism, Christian baptism is a showing what's going on here because what has already transpired, and it could transpire for you just like it just transpired for me as I just went up and down. Baptism is testimony that it's already happened in me. You get that? Apollos didn't get that. He didn't understand that. He hadn't been taught that. He just thought you were, he was just teaching what John taught. So even though he had all this going for him, he had a flaw. He had something going on that was going to slow him down in being all that God wanted him to be. And so the Bible says Aquila and Priscilla show up. Now I love this couple. Because they show us the right way to engage with newbies. People that are new to us. People that we've never seen before, but all of a sudden God puts us in the same space. Aquila and Priscilla. First of all, I love it that they were intentional. They didn't just sit back and go, well, if he comes and talks to us, we'll come talk to him. No, they went after him, right? The Bible says that they weren't too busy to notice this guy. Hey, what is that? Hey. And they weren't too busy to listen to everything he had to say because so much of what he had to say was dead on awesome. And even though he was a great speaker and an intelligent person and somebody that knew the scriptures, they engaged. They weren't afraid that, oh man, we better let him go on to the next town because he might take our jobs. They didn't do that. They leaned into him. And the other thing was, is that even though he was a great speaker and he knew the scriptures and he was intelligent, all that stuff, they weren't intimidated going, well, if Paul said it, he's pretty smart. He must know. So maybe we'll just keep our mouths shut. No. They knew that this one thing that he was saying didn't line up with what they knew was right. And they intentionally engaged. And here's what I love about them. If you don't learn anything else about newbies and new people that God brings into your life, take this lesson from Aquila and Priscilla because they brought Apollos in so they could get something worked out. They were willing to take him in so that God could work something out. Right? And that's what happened. Apollos, he listened. He understood. He submitted himself to what they were saying. It made sense in his heart. And he learned from it. He grew from it. His flaw became a strength. And the Bible says he kept on speaking and he kept on speaking and he felt like God wanted him to go to other towns. And the people of Ephesus said, you need to go to other towns, man. We'll write letters ahead of you. And they wrote letters everywhere saying, man, when this guy shows up, listen, because he's all that and a bag of chips and now the pickle too. It's all there. It's a full meal deal, right? And all of that was able to take place. In fact, the Bible goes on to talk about all these amazing ways that Apollos helped the church and encouraged the church, not just there in Ephesus, but all over that area of the northern part of the Mediterranean. Because Aquila and Priscilla were willing to bring him in so that God could work something out. So what's the lesson here? Man, the lesson in all of this is the God-ordained truth that, gang, we need each other. Every one of us needs each other. I want you to look around the room, and don't just look at the beautiful person you came with, all right? Look across the room. Find somebody that you haven't met yet, all right? Just kind of look. You don't have to wave or give them, send your cell phone number. Just look around, all right? As you look at that person, would you dare to say, I need that person. Maybe that person is on this planet to make an eternal difference in my life. And what am I missing because I don't know them? Because I haven't brought them in so that God could work something out. Or maybe, would you dare look at that person and say, maybe God has put me on this planet to work out something eternal, an eternal next step in that person's life. And because I haven't been willing to bring them in, God hasn't worked it out yet. You see, we need each other. Newbies need those that are established. The established need newbies. Kids need the wisdom of adults. Adults, we need that youthful curiosity of a kid. And we also need them to fix our cell phones, and we don't know how to make them work. Right? So keep them close, all right? New believers need the mentoring and the discipleship of those of us who have studied the Word for a long time and have worked to work it out in this thing called life. But you know, us old Christians, us established Christians, us Christians that have been along, we need those new believers in our life too. Because we need to remember what it's like when we don't understand the mystery. And you still don't, by the way. But, you know, and the curiosity and the excitement of having Jesus in your life for the very first time and the change that happens because of that. Man, we need each other. But that's not what our culture encourages us to do in a normal kind of way. In the normal context of relationships, our culture speaks a message that says more like, you don't really need anybody. You could do it yourself. Don't stop and ask for directions. Just figure it out. Right, guys? Hey, that new guy at work, man, he might be a threat. He may be coming after your job. You better watch that dude. Hey, that new guy over there, man, stay away from him because he doesn't know nothing. You're going to have to teach him. He's going to waste all your time. You're not going to get nothing done. Man, just let him figure it out for himself. He didn't need you. Hey, be careful engaging with others because they're probably just going to let you down. Hey, be careful when you engage with others because they're probably wanting something that you've got. And they're either going to ask for it or steal it or they're after what you got. And for all of us Texans, we know that the best people are those that have pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, right? That's what culture is saying. That's not the way God designed it. That's not the way it's supposed to be in the world. It's not the way it's supposed to be in the church with God's people. God designed us for community. We need each other. You need what others have. They need what you have. We need to be leaning into each other, not leaning away from each other. The story helps us if we're really going to be intentional about leaning into others. If God has kind of pricked your heart right now and he's saying to you, hey, you've kind of been pushing back. You don't lean into people, you lean away from people. You've been sitting there and said, I've done my time. It's somebody else's turn. If God's pricking your heart about the leaning into others that you need to do, or letting others lean into you that needs to happen. Man, this story has three great principles that we need to understand. You see, that will help you to begin to want to lean in to others. The first one is this. You and everybody else on this planet is a gifted child of God. And you have an eternal reason for being here. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's a Christian. What I am saying, though, is that everybody that is here was made by God, was designed by God for eternal things. Everybody. You were. Others were. Right? And you are not here by accident. You don't live where you live by accident. God, in His sovereign design of having all these eternal beings on the planet at one time, has put you living next to certain people for a reason. Some of you are about to start classes, and you're going to get assigned seating, and you're going to be sitting next to people that you don't necessarily want to be sitting with on the first day because your buddies are back over here. But could you imagine that God may have an eternal reason for you for sitting where you're sitting and teaching who you're teaching and living where you're living and working where you're working and friending who you're friending and coaching who you're coaching and teaming with who you're teaming with? Man, you were designed by God. Your life is designed by God for an eternal impact. And when you get that, it makes you understand the leaning into others that you need to do instead of the leaning back. Because you realize that's an eternal being with eternal potential. And I'm an eternal being with eternal potential. I want the best for me. I want the best for them because God wants the best for us. Let's go. And we start leaning in. The second principle that I see in this passage is that we all have flaws that will hinder us if we don't deal with them. Just like Apollos, you are flawed. Okay? Nobody has it all together. Nobody knows it all. Nobody's got it all going. Even if we say, oh, everything's great. It's never everything's always great. That is always the biggest lie. Right? It's not always great. You don't always know it all. We don't. Even though we try to act like it all the time. Some flaws will slow you down. But listen, gang, other flaws, if they're left unhandled, will destroy you. They will destroy your marriage. They will destroy your family. They will destroy your life. And most of all, they will destroy your eternal impact that you were put on this earth to accomplish. Life in Christ is not about being perfect all the time, but it is about learning how His grace and His power can transform flaws into strengths. And one of the tools in His tool belt is others, is people. We need each other, gang. We need each other. The third principle that I see in this passage that really helps us to lean into others is this. God works through His people to transform our flaws into world-changing opportunities. Man, just like Aquila and Priscilla were God's gift to Apollos, God has people He wants to bring into your life as His gift to you to help you to be everything He created you to be. And just like Aquila and Priscilla were God's gift to Apollos, God, you are God's gift to somebody. To help somebody else become all that God intended them to be in Christ Jesus, right? I mean, when those three things, when you're convinced of those three things that God has established, man, you are on the way, right? But that's all that God is. God has established all of that to happen, to be ready. He set up the tracks for you to run on, if you will, related to that. But there's some things you and I have to do. There's some things that you and I need to step into, move forward in. We have to determine that we're going to do or determine that we're not going to do so that we can engage in community the way God wants us to. There's three things that I want to point out today that I call deal makers or deal breakers when it comes to engaging with one another the way God wants us to. The first one is We have to be faith-filled givers and receivers. We have to do faith-filled giving and receiving. In other words, the giving that we give, the receiving that we receive from others, right? It has to be faith-filled. We need to believe the right things about each other according to God's Word. Here's what I mean by that. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. Listen to these words, man. Beautiful words from David. David's saying to God, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body." Listen to these words. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Do you believe all that by faith about yourself? Do you believe all of that by faith about others that you share this planet with? I'll tell you how I know if you do. Man, when you look in the mirror, man, do you complain or do you celebrate? Man, you get up in the morning and, man, you go over to the sink and turn on the light. My nose is so big. Man, these ears, man. Where'd this hair go? Man, that ain't so bad. God, what were you thinking? When's the last time you went in front of the mirror and you said, "Man, God, you're awesome"? I wouldn't do that when your wife is in the room, but... When's the last time you thought back over the things that happened in your life? Things that happened back over your life? And you're looking, thinking back over those things, and man, if this hadn't happened, if that hadn't happened, if that hadn't occurred, man, I'd be in such a different place. I'd be in such a better place. Why, God? Why, God? When's the last time you went back over your timeline and you went, "God, thank you for that hard time. Thanks for carrying me through that pain. Thanks for making that thing that I thought was going to kill me work together for good"? Man, it's like Andre Crouch used to sing. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. And I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. See, by faith, you have to believe that God made you like you are for a reason. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so is the person sitting next to you and behind you and across the room from you and everybody that you share this planet with. And you have to believe that everything that has ever happened to you, God knew about before it ever happened. And He said, "It's okay because I can create eternal opportunities because those things are there." By faith, God knows what He's doing. Do you believe that? If you do, you have a chance at community. If you don't, maybe not. The second area, the deal maker or deal breaker, is the idea of trustworthiness and trust willingness. Because if you are going to speak into others, you better be trustworthy. What I mean by that is that it doesn't matter what you say, because your life and the way you live your life speaks so much louder than your words. So if God calls you into a relationship where you're supposed to help somebody else, you need to live a trustworthy life. But if God calls you to be spoken into by somebody else, you need to be trust willing. Over in Ephesians 5:21, it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." We choose to love. We choose to trust. Man, be trustworthy. Be trust willing. and watch what God does in you and watch what God does through you. And the last thing that I want to point out, and this is one, I hope you wore your hard-toed shoes today, okay? Because this one's going to stomp on them a little bit, all right? If you're really going to engage in community, you better know the difference between personal preference and godly doctrine. Because here's the deal. Every single one of us in this room is a collection of beliefs, right? You make the choices that you make because of what you believe. You do what you do because of what you believe, okay? Some of those choices as believers are godly doctrines because we've read the Bible and we've seen where God said, thou shalt, and so we're shouting, right? And he said, thou shalt not, and so we're not shouting, right? And what God has said we shout or shout not do, those are eternal things. They don't change just because people change. They don't change because culture changed. Godly doctrines, man, you hold those tight and you don't let them go. But there's a whole lot of things in this that we believe that the Bible doesn't say anything about. We believe them because it works for us. You know, like how you dress when you come to church, or what time you come to church, or what kind of music you like, or, you know, if you bring coffee into the worship center or not, right? There's not a Bible verse for that, right? And a lot of reasons why people don't engage with each other is because Christians, we speak of John 3:16 with the same passion as we do, don't bring that coffee into the worship center. Right? Amen. You won't. You're not going to. You may actually lose the opportunity to speak into somebody if you don't understand which one of those is a personal preference and which one's a godly doctrine. And there's a long list of those that I wouldn't dare call out on this stage. But you need to marinate, because that's why the Holy Spirit is in your heart, to help you understand what is godly doctrine and what is personal preference. It's not wrong to have personal preferences, but it's wrong to teach them in the same authority as John 3:16. That's what I'm saying. And you and I better understand that. Bottom line in all this is, God has called us to community. We need each other. This is the time of year where there's going to be more newbies around you than ever before. More people that are going to be new to you than ever before. And God is calling you to quit leaning back and to start leaning in. Because I can promise you, if you go to the children's department today, they're going to probably be short a few teachers for this next church year. And they need some people that would lean in to others. There's probably some adult Sunday school classes that need to get started. Sunday school classes, I'm old school. Life groups, right? All right? There's probably, there are some people that are walking through that God is going to bring into your life that if you will lean into and take the time and listen, God's going to show you, hey, I brought them into your life because they need something that I've already shown you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our time of need so that we can comfort others with the same comfort we receive from them. We need each other.